a word of caution for those that sometimes follow the sermon outline. It's in the bulletin. Jocelyn was on vacation the end of this week, and so we had to have things done earlier in the week so she could do the bulletin. And so I did my sermon outline early, put it in the bulletin, and then as I finished things up, I kind of went in a different direction. So some of it might overlap, but you'll see some different verses and things like that. And so hopefully you can not be too worried or anxious about, hey, he's not following what's supposed to happen here. And obviously that's appropriate when we're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you all know how our cell phones work? I mean, how can somebody in another land call me and within, or you call them and within a quarter of a second, you're connected? I don't know how that works. Well, I was reading this week about HSS, hypersonic sound. And I can explain this to you as well as I could explain how a cell phone works. But HSS, hypersonic sound. It's developed maybe back in the 70s, and it's not necessarily gone too far as they try to figure out what to do with that in my limited reading and understanding. But HSS uses sound waves to create them in direct beams. It's kind of like a spotlight, where you know have a spotlight and it directs the light in a certain direction. Well, HSS directs these sound waves in audio technology along certain beams, certain paths. And part of that technology, believe it or not, is for advertising. So maybe you're walking down the mall and you have a group of children with you, and the toy store can focus this beam so that either the parents are going to pick up that there's a toy store and you can walk the other direction, or it's going to hit the children and they're going, hey, let's go to the toy store and see what we can explore. Or maybe in your home, you know, those surround speakers with HSS, you can set your TV that you don't need those speakers because these beams will come directly to where you normally sit in your chair. A narrow beam that maybe could go for 150 yards. HSS. And it's so focused that if you step 2 feet away, you're not going to hear anything. If you're back in the path of that beam, you can hear clearer sound than anything you can imagine. But if you just step a little ways, you're not going to hear anything. Directed targets. HSS. HSS is very similar to how the Holy Spirit works. Sound waves you can't see, can't always understand the technology. Or maybe you are smart enough to understand that, and I just can't understand. But the Spirit is here. The Spirit is present. And the Spirit directs us in what we've read from the hymn, 644. Jesus had to leave so that the Spirit could come and be our counselor and our comforter. And he directs us along the paths of life. Now, if we step too far away from the Spirit, we're not going to hear his direction. So we have to stay in tune with the Spirit of God. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus teaches about the narrow gate and the narrow road compared to the broad gate and the broad road. If you get on that broad road, you may not be in tune with the Holy Spirit. You may be missing what the Spirit is telling you. But if in your life you remain fixed on Jesus Christ, keeping your focus on him, you can be on that narrow road and be directed by how the Holy Spirit is going to guide you. HSS is an example of how the Holy Spirit works in us. I also have to share that and you probably are all aware of this anyway, but in my family, I am known for starting a conversation on one topic, and with no warning, I've switched topics within seconds, and then I've done it again. I'm doing that this morning in the sermon. I didn't have great words of transition. So HSS, and now I'm going to talk about Yellowstone. Anytime I read something about Yellowstone National Park, not the show. I've watched one session and I won't watch anymore. It was different from Yellowstone National Park. I've been blessed in my life to be at Yellowstone National Park many times. And whenever I see Yellowstone National Park, my interest is piqued and I want to read. And I was reading about sermon illustrations, and there was one about a ranger in Yellowstone National Park who was leading a group of hikers on a trail to a fire tower. And as they were walking along, and we have done that in some of the back areas of Yellowstone National Park, and you see the bison over there, and we obey the warnings. So you're supposed to say, and we had to circle quite a ways. But you never know what you're going to find. Well, this ranger's leading them through the fire tower along a path, and he is engrossed in teaching them about the wildflowers and the wildlife that will be in that area. And his two-way radio kept squawking and going off, and it was distracting, so he turned it all the way off. And he kept leading. And as they approached or got near to the fire tower, here came another ranger running down the path toward them. "Haven't you heard our signals? Why did you turn off your radio? We have been trying to tell you that there is a grizzly bear stalking behind your group." And I've seen those grizzly bears at Yellowstone National Park come out of nowhere, and it's there. But he turned off his two-way radio because it was distracting. Yellowstone National Park and the Holy Spirit. We can tune out the Holy Spirit. We can turn off our desire to know or listen to the Holy Spirit. And yet, when we do that, we can open up ourselves to harm, or the people around us to harm. We want to be able to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And so we continue in this sermon series about statements of belief. And today, obviously, the subject is the Holy Spirit. When we tune out the Holy Spirit, we are closing down the greatest resource that God has given us. Because the Holy Spirit, it's not only counsel, it's not only comfort, but it's direction. It's a voice that we can listen to in ourselves and be open to God's direction. Should we be doing this, or we come across, "God, help us solve this"? The Holy Spirit is present for us. The Bible teaches us that God is the big O. And for those of you of a certain generation, I'm not talking about Oscar Robinson. Okay? The big O, God, is omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is present all the time. God is all powerful, God is all knowing, and God is all present. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God, one being in three persons. The Holy Spirit is all powerful, all knowing, and all present. If you think about that, Christians are in the presence of the Holy Spirit at all times. The Holy Spirit never leaves us. It is us who can walk out of the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is present at all times, omnipresent. And it's imperative for our spiritual health, for our blessing, that we never turn off that connection to the Holy Spirit. So we had HSS and Yellowstone and God as the big O, and now the Heidelberg Catechism. Just talked about that in confirmation of when that was created and the purpose of the catechism. The Heidelberg Catechism is the historic and ecumenical confession of Protestant churches, far beyond just St. John's. And in that statement of faith, the Catechism draws upon the truth of Scripture to inform us about the Spirit. The Catechism uses Scripture to help us understand who the Spirit is and what the Spirit does. And so that first Scripture referenced in the Heidelberg Catechism about the Holy Spirit is Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Now, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit was there in the beginning, hovering over the waters as God created the entire creation. From Genesis 1, we have the reality of the Spirit of God, the reality of the Trinity. The Catechism goes from Genesis 1 to John chapter 4, when Jesus is talking to the woman about worship. John 4, 23, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. And then in verse 24, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus affirms the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. God is spirit, and we are to worship in spirit and truth. What does it mean to worship in spirit? Our worship of God comes from within us. Our worship of God comes from our hearts, comes from our minds, comes from our souls. It comes from within. Our worship of God is to be motivated by our love for God, by our gratitude for God. It's from within. Our worship of God must be infused with heart-led commitment and faith and love and zeal. God is spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who touches us with awe in the blessed images of God's wondrous creation. Now, I know not everybody, I know not, woke up and they were in awe of the beauty of the whiteness. There were several individuals at 8 o'clock service that drove over untarnished snow. They were the first one on that road, and a couple of them talked about the beauty of the falling snow. That awe that wells up is God. One day this week, I was sitting in the chapel. It was one of those typical Ohio wintry days, and the day had been nothing but gray cloud. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, sun burst through the stained glass window. And it was amazing to see that brightness. And even my mood changed. That awe, that change, is the Holy Spirit at work in us. Or when you see a rainbow shimmering and bright and arcing across the sky, the recognition of the glory is the Holy Spirit speaking to us about God's creation. God's creation is wondrous, but I don't always run out of the house to see a rainbow in the sky. My wife, on the other hand, will do that, and she's trained our children because I've gotten called by my son, hey, Dad, there's a rainbow, go out and see it. And it's that awe. And when you do, the Holy Spirit is welling up that sense of awe. That's what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth. It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to enjoy the blessed fellowship of family and friends. I was with a group of community volunteers yesterday, kind of on a day-long retreat, kind of planning and learning and discussing together. And I happened to be the leader of that group. And so I would get them involved in a couple of activities, and I'd stand back and I'd observe. And I was moved by the presence of the Holy Spirit of how much fun they were enjoying together. And then as we talked about some things for the future, I was again awed by the Holy Spirit for the common understanding and the willingness to come together and work together as a team. To me, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. On Christmas Eve, I had shared in my message that Christmas candlelight service is a blessing and wondrous, but for a pastor who's helping to lead that service, I'm always anxious and worked up and all that kind of stuff. And it's not until I go home after that service and sit on my own sofa in the quietness of our home with just the tree lights on, that's when I worship the meaning of Christmas, the coming of the Christ child. And so we did that. It was just Lynn and I sitting there in the room, and I was enjoying the silence and a little bit of conversation about the service and about Christmas when my phone rang. And I answered it, and it was my daughter, and I quote, "I just turned on County Road U, and since it's so cold, would you put your coat and shoes on and come out and help me unload the car?" She wasn't supposed to come home till the morning, and she was coming home early, but as soon as I heard her voice and the humor in what she said, I sat there in the awe of the Holy Spirit, because He has blessed me as husband and father with family that I cherish. And just having Amy come home in that time, that was the Holy Spirit welling up within me. And I trust you have those experiences in your life. When the Spirit is with us, we have that sense of awe, that sense of wonder, that sense of fulfillment, that sense of peace. To worship in spirit and truth. In John 14, 16 through 18, it is one of those verses on the sermon outline. But John 14 says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." These words of Jesus are so enlightening. Jesus comes to us, and He promises the Holy Spirit. The world can't see Him. We can't see the Spirit. But through faith in Jesus Christ, we know the Spirit because Jesus has come. And then I'm going to highlight some verses, again, not on the outline, but some other verses. Psalm 51, verse 10. Psalm 51, verse 10 might be a verse that you recognize. Maybe just in the citation, you know what I'm going to read. But when I share the words, many might remember. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." That is often on artwork, that's on devotionals, Psalm 51, 10. It's what I know. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." That inner self. But this week, I went on to read verse 11. "Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." We don't want the Holy Spirit taken away. We need the Holy Spirit to sustain us. And we learned that from Scripture. part of the sermon series is to study the scriptures about the weekly topic, and the other part is to prepare us to have conversations with people that may not believe, in the case of today, in the Spirit. In Psalm 51:10, the aspect of learning to have a pure heart and that desire for just having life sustained and being able to have a conversation about not having the Holy Spirit taken away points to the Holy Spirit is here all the time. And then in Romans 5, verse 5, Paul writes, "And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." Hope does not disappoint us. When we have conversations with people, with believers, or people that are wondering about Jesus or don't know Jesus, when we're having those kind of conversations, our conversations can be seen as seeds of faith. And when we're listening to others, they're simply planting seeds of faith within us. And as we have conversations over a period of time, hope does not disappoint us. Now, I've talked with plenty of people about Jesus Christ, and plenty of them have not changed in how close they get to Jesus Christ. Others have, but there are still others that haven't, and yet I have hope for them. I have hope of what Paul writes. I have journeyed with people for 20, 30, 40 years, and I've seen their faith develop and grow and strengthen over the course of that time, because hope does not disappoint us. So when you are having conversations about faith, don't give up. Have hope and sustain those conversations in the days and the weeks and the months and the years to come. And finally, from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Depending upon how much reading you do of Christian literature and Christian works, you may see this verse quoted to tell people why they should not have piercings and why they should not have tattoos on their physical body. That's not where I'm coming from in this. I'm coming from the standpoint of that spiritual realm within. The spiritual realm in the Spirit of God. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in Christians. He is in us, whom we have received from God. You are not your own. You know, those officers that were up here, they don't just get to do their own thing. They have said yes to ministry of the church. And God has called them and equipped them to serve, because we are not our own. We were bought at a price. And part of that price and the sacrifice is Jesus. Well, we're supposed to sacrifice of ourselves too. In some ways, that serving on consistory, that may be in our offerings, it may be in what we do in our daily lives to serve the church or help family or friends, neighbors, or strangers. You are not your own. Have you ever signed up for something, said that you would do something, and as the day approached, "Oh, why did I really sign up for, I really don't want to do this." Yesterday morning, I was in Holland, the Menards in Holland, Ohio at 6:30, because I said I would go there and pick up the appliances for the Habitat House in Wauseon. Yeah, why did I say yes to this? But I'm not my own, so I was there and I got that. And it's one time I've been in a store, all I got was what had been ordered. I didn't buy anything for myself. You are not your own. And I went from there to that day-long thing, and I was so glad that I had done the appliance pickup and drop-off before so that when I got done with the retreat, I have the rest of the day to relax and get ready for today. You are not your own. We are challenged as Christians not to be focused on ourselves, to be thinking about others. And that's why we have this focus in on trying to talk with others about faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit. Know the truth of the scriptures that the Spirit is at work within us. And I pray that through that Spirit, we can be at work for the blessing of God and His people in this world. Amen.
We come now together for a time of prayer as a congregation, keeping in mind those prayers on our own hearts and minds, those prayers of our congregation as we come before our Father's throne. So let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, you are God and we praise you because you are holy and yet still choose to dwell with us. We thank you for working in our lives, that you guide us to salvation, you renew our dead and stony hearts, and you open our eyes to the truth. Lord, help us to see more clearly, to recognize your movement in our lives. Help us to follow you more closely. We know we're still selfish and rebellious, so we ask you to help us and recognize your leading, that we do indeed need you. Help us to walk with you, O Holy Spirit. Grow fruit in our lives, because you are the one who indeed produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We cannot live out those things on our own. We need you, Holy Spirit. Lord, for all else, we pray the prayer that you have taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. In response to the teachings we heard today, we read together the statement of faith. We have this just little sentence, I believe in the Holy Spirit, but that includes so much else that we confess, yes, the Holy Spirit is God, that he comforts, guides, transforms, draws us close to God with his word. He renews us, he brings us life, he brings holiness, sanctification in our life. So in this confession, there's a whole lot there, but we confess together as a congregation saying, yes, we believe this. So we speak together the statement of faith written in the bulletin. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please stand if you are able and let us sing the sermon hymn. It is found on page number 259 in your red hymnal if you choose to follow along there. Sing from there. It is called Breathe on Me, Breath of God. With thy fire divine. but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity. You may be seated.
Before I invite the ushers forward to collect our tithes and offerings, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you've given us so much. We give you this offering today. Please take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. May it be a great blessing to many. We ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. I invite the ushers forward.
And on this fourth Sunday of the month, we receive a second offering for our Imagine Your Faith Capital Building campaign. So the ushers have emptied the plates and they're going to come back in and receive this second offering. There you go. This offering and other donations to the church in 2022 saw donations of just a little over $92,000 given to and designated for that capital campaign. So I continue to thank the congregation for the donations and their support. We did have an expense this last year, a little over $3,000. We had a licensed company come in, licensed through the state of Ohio, to assess the church facility, the building, in terms of asbestos. Evidently, but nowadays, before we do any work, we have to have that work done. So a gentleman came in, spent a few days here, sampled almost everything that's possible in the building, and gave us a notebook with there's no might anymore. We know where asbestos is, and as long as it's under something or in a fixed position, it's safe for us. But if we start to break it up, then we might have some problems. So all the tile that your feet are on are tile made with asbestos. And we have an awareness of where all those places are in the building. And we have there's a plan there on what has to happen in order for that to be taken care of. We also had the building committee representatives had a good meeting on Friday with three members from the architectural firm. They came with some concepts, tagging on earlier work and also adding some of their own. And they've gone back with some of our thoughts and ideas on that. And so they'll finalize some of those plans, and they're going to be working on a budget of what those plans will actually cost. Hopefully at or below the $1.6 million goal approved, and then hopefully in time, we'll be able to share those plans and that new budget with the congregation for your input and discussion.
Please stand if you are able, and let us sing the closing praise. Our closing praise is the hymn titled, Go, My Children, With My Blessing. You find that in your insert if you wish to follow along there. For the closing praise, we're singing verses 1 through 3. We will then have the spoken benediction, and then our benediction and song will be verse 4, of Go, My Children, With My Blessing. So let us sing.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Savior, comforter.